the Lord for a week of encouragement and being refreshed and hearing. And it was revival, really. If you were there for our week of vacation Bible school each night, you didn't know what God was going to bring through. Josh, I praise the Lord for the opportunity to teach again. Really didn't know if I was going to. And my wife and I were shaking our heads as we get back home and saying, how long are we going to be able to do this? And yet, thank the Lord that we got strengthened. Many of you that were there and helped in any way possible, praise the Lord for your time there. We're going to go to an encouraging message tonight. And it's found in the book of 1 Samuel. So if you want to turn there, this is probably one of the most favorite passages for kids that you teach through. And it's really one that 1 Samuel chapter 17, okay? And if you have a Bible that's marked, you probably have it all marked up. And this is one of your favorite passages. And David and Goliath. But I direct your attention to one verse in here, and then we're going to go down through this. And it's a verse that David said to his brothers as he was out there to meet them and out there to see what this commotion was all about with Goliath and why everybody, and he just wanted to know. And he was a young boy. He was a young man. I'm not quite sure his age at this point, but he was young enough that there was a lot that they had, but he had encouragement. He had a great amount of, I guess, audacity, just spunk, whatever you want to call it, he had it. And really what he had was God's hand upon him. And that's really what he had. And he said in verse number 29, after the brothers saw that he came out to, in a sense, spy on them, and that really is what they thought was happening, but it wasn't he was spying, he was out there to see and to see what really the armies were going to do and why this man was holding them at bay. And he says to them in verse 29, David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And I was reading through this passage several times, and I've read this many times, and I was reading through this, and just this morning, wouldn't you know it, the Daily Bread had this very passage that I was reading. I'm not preaching Daily Bread, but they brought this out. And I'm looking here at verse number 30. All right. After David says this, David said, or is there not a cause? And he turned from him, who was that? His brother, toward another, and he spoke after the same manner. And I never saw that before. You ever read through a passage of scripture and you think, I never saw that. He spoke it again, and he thundered, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And he said it over and over again, is there not a cause? Because up until this point, they didn't understand really what this was all about. But I want you to notice, and he says, and the people answered him again after the same manner. So the people echoed it back to him, is there not a cause? And it was kind of back and forth, is there not a cause? And here's this young shepherd boy leading the armies and the people that were around him, if I'm seeing it correctly, And they answered him and said, the former manner, all right? And then go to 31. Look at that one. And when the words were heard which David spake, what did they do? My Bible says reported, but they rehearsed it. What does that mean? They said it over and over again. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? All right. And David spoke and reported. And then they said it to who? Can you imagine? And this whole episode was about the fact that they were getting beat. And this man, Goliath, all right, how tall was he? 9 feet? All right. Giant. And so he's standing before them, and he's defying the very armies of Israel. And David said, is there not a cause? And so the armies are really getting riled up at this. And from what I see, they're saying it back and forth. And then it gets back to Saul, the king. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fail. And David said this to Saul. So Saul's wondering, how is this ever going to play out? Is there not a cause? One of the most fantastic accounts of valor and victory that we see in the Bible. We're always encouraged when we see we win, right? God wins. And this is all about God winning. Is he winning in your life? Are you able to say he's winning in my life? Well, I have to believe that day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials there, right? So we come to that particular verse, but just to set the tone, in chapter 7, verses 1 through 16, I'm not going to read them, there were 40 days he presented himself, and this was Goliath, 40 days before them. Once again, we see the 40s. All right, all the way through verses 1 through 16, 40 days. From verses 17 through 22, David is sent to his brothers. David is sent to his brothers. Who sends him? His dad, right? Yeah, Jesse, verse 17, unto David, the son, take now thy brethren and ephah and the parched grain and the 10 loaves and run up to the camp. So he was actually going out to feed them and take care of them. That's a pretty good thing to do, I think. And yet, he was doing God's business. He was doing God's work at this point, and he was going out. Now, David, he was young. He really, really innocently went, and he did. All right, so all the way up through 22, all right, we see David is sent. And down through verse 22, and David left the baggage or the stuff in the hand of the keeper, all right, and ran into the army. And came and greeted his brother and said, man, I'm ready. Well, he doesn't say that. He says, how are you doing? How are you guys doing? Can you imagine? The guys are standing around saying, well, we're not doing too good. This guy is out after us, and he's going to, he says, that's it. You know, he's out there cursing and swearing, and really, the Bible doesn't, it does say that. He took the Lord's name in vain, and he's out there, and he's just, man, you guys are not going to win. This is the way it is. All right. And David comes up and all the way. And the next we see is David is disappointment. All right. I'm sure he's distraught. And yet he showed, all right, himself strong. All right. And in verses 23 down through 28, we see this. Well, let's just look at this. So verse 23. And he talked with them, and there's a great champion, Gath, Goliath, and we find all that in verse number 24. And the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him, and they were very much afraid, and the men of Israel. So they were shaken in their boots, or booties, or whatever they had on, sandals, I don't know. Anyways, verse 26, and David spoke to the men who stood by him, What shall be done to this man who killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Basically, he's not a Christian. He's not a believer. He knows nothing about God at all. Basically, that's what he's saying. That he should defy the armies of the living God. Wow. I'm sure that they never heard that. David said, who's this guy that's defying God? One man with God is a majority. Really. If you're in Christ today, if you have called upon the name of the Lord, you're calling upon the God of heaven, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, he can get anything. Who are we to stand and say, God's not able to do that? Well, and that's basically, and putting all these verses together we're thinking about, and down through there, and Eliab, his eldest brother, verse 28, got angry. It was kindled against David, and he said, why camest down here? And he says, oh man, what are you doing here? Verse 29. And then we come to the verse. We come to the verse where God says, wow, all right, through David, there is a cause, and it's greater than us. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah 40, verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the God, look at it with me, Isaiah chapter 40. These are great verses. Let me just take you there. All right, some of the most encouraging verses in all the Bible. Maybe I ought to preach on that, but I'm not going to. All right, he says here, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, neither is no searching of his understanding? Maybe David was remembering Isaiah said that. I don't know. All right. I think he might have, all right? And could he have actually quoted that to him? I don't know. But notice what he says. He giveth power to the faint. To those that have no might, he can increase his strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. Quote it with me. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall what? Run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Hast thou not heard? Is there not a cause? Just a few remarks about this incident to encourage us tonight that there is a greater cause than us. It's the cause of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the joy of the Lord. Thank you for the folks that have come out tonight to hear your word, to be encouraged, to strengthen. I need it. We need it. We pray as has been prayed for those that are traveling. Our pastor, keep them safe. Our youth pastor, keep them safe. Dear Lord, lots of miles. Pray, dear Lord, you'd help them. Get a fire in their soul as they come back from camp, but they're anticipating God doing some great work this week. And so we pray, you'd help us, give us an understanding of your word tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. There is a cause. We had that cause last week, and we need to continue. The cause is boys and girls and men and women being cast into hell because they have not believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think when you and I get a fresh understanding of that, it will certainly cause some great things to happen in our lives. Well, I've come up with some five reasons here tonight, if I can look at it, but five encouragements and five ways that not only does he slay the giant, but he slays, I guess, ideas and discouragements, dismaying, all of these that come into our lives. And if we apply that, we are more than conquerors. That day he began certainly to defeat the Philistines, the giants along the way. Now, history records that Goliath had more brothers, at least four, okay? And I'm going to take those four brothers and I'm going to say that Goliath went down, but David is also going to defeat these giants as well. And you and I have giants in our lives. We've got things that come into our lives that just cause us to crumble and tremble sometimes. But when we get a hold of this, we can be encouraged. Verse number 28 we looked at, is there not a cause? And I believe that there's some things that happened to David. Probably these brothers and all of those were disgusted. He saw dismay and he was disgruntled at all of what was going on. Can you imagine David going out there and the brothers are just, he's all excited to see them and I brought some stuff for you to you know, take care of this giant and take care of whatever's happening, and we've got the whole army of God with us. Brothers, come on. And he gets really, really, really discouraged. So at this one, he really defeats these. Because David says there's not a cause. And when you look at the cause, it's greater than the problems that's out there. Why are you doing what you're doing? I think that's what he was really saying to the brothers. Why are you doing what you're doing out here? Who's behind you? What's this all about? And so David, with just saying that, really defeats that giant of being of disgust. Disgusted at the brothers? Disgusted at the world? Dismayed? Man, I'll tell you what, you can get so upset with what's happening in this world, you really get down and out. Thinking, man, where are you, God? Where is all the, what? Look at all the mess. Look at all the junk that's happening. So I believe David at that point in meeting this, he slays the first one. And that was that area of disgruntlement and dismay. He's dismayed. And disgusted. Well, there's another one. And he's not done yet because we're not to the giant yet. But the next one happens to be discouragement. Discouragement. You ever discouraged? Verses 31 down through 37, he's slaying this area of discouragement. And when David heard, when the words were heard, and I spoke about that, David spoke, they rehearsed them again and said them to Saul. Now, here's what Saul says. Go get him! What's he say? All right, this is the king. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail of him. Thy servant will go and fight. I'm going to do it for you. And Saul said to David, are you kidding? You're what? You're so small. He says, you're not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, but he's a man of war from his youth. And he's saying to David, now listen, come on, hang in there. Don't get so excited because you've got God behind you. Basically, that's what he's saying. All right? Don't get excited. What? Don't get excited because you have God? And that's what he's saying here. And Saul said to David, all right, you're not able. Verse 34, and David said to Saul, thy servant kept the father's sheep and lion, and it came and a lion and a bear, and I took the lamb out of the flock. He said, hey, I've got all this behind me. Man, I've got credentials. I'm a lion tamer. I'm a bear killer. And David said unto Saul, thy servant, all right, kept the sheep. I was a great shepherd. And then verse 35, and I went out after him and I smote him, delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. And thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and the Philistine shall be one of them. He that hath defeated the armies of the living God. And David said, moreover, the Lord delivered. So once again, he's going right back, kids. He's going right back and he's saying, get your focus on God. And that's what he's saying. Discouragements will come. Absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe you're the only believer in your household, school, wherever. All right? Work. All right? And you can get really, really, really discouraged at that. Jonathan Edwards, great preacher of the Great Awakening, says, attempt great things for God and do them. I preached on this. The Bible says in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ. That's the key, who strengthens me. Even the mighty Saul recognized something in David. Look at it. Even the mighty Saul recognized at this point, down through 35, he recognized this. Moreover, the Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the lion and the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of Philistines. And Saul said, what? Go! Let's go! Pastor's famous words, right? Pastor Josh, he knows us as let's go. Remember I see him, let's go. What do you mean? With God, you can do anything. You put the Lord in the middle of the mix, and that's exactly what happened. David cuts down that giant of really discouragement at that point. And Saul is really trying to get him down. It's actually the devil who's trying to get him to do that and trying to get him discouraged. So David goes on, and now we get to the great, great, great episode. And this is where we're all going for tonight. And this is great, all right? Here it is. And this one is that of danger. Oh, it's too dangerous to do that. You can't do that. Absolutely. And so what does Saul do? Well, I'll take care of that. You're too small. And Saul armed David with his armor. Now, this is a boy, and Saul was about 6 foot, all right? And the armor weighed about 300 pounds. I don't know for sure, but it's pretty heavy. And he puts it on, and you can just see it. And he's walking around. What am I doing with this stuff on? How's this going to help me? How is this going to happen? David girded his sword upon his armor, and he attempted to go, and he tested it and tried it. And David said, I can't go with these. I've not tested them. And David put them off. He threw them off, and he took the staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook. There's where we get the 5. All right. And he put them in a shepherd, 1 for each giant. It doesn't say, but actually we're using that with the fact that he's slaying them. So this one is really that of danger. All right, he's going to slay it. So whatever danger you're going into with God, you can. And the Philistine looked about and he saw and he looked at David, you know, and he disdained him and he said, oh, you're just a little guy. Are you kidding? You're coming after me. I'm putting my own vernacular in. Verse 43, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog? Thou art come to me with staves. And the Philistine cursed God, David by his gods. And that really got David riled up. Really got him riled up. Here's this little kid standing in. Are you kidding? What does he say? Well, you know what happens. And David said, and the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give the flesh to the fowls of the air. Are you kidding? And David said to the Philistine, this is like a war on words here, all right? Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear, and I've got this underlined and square and highlighted and everything, with a spear and a shield, but I come to thee with the name of who? The Lord of hosts. And the Philistine said, are you kidding? At this point, he said, this day the Lord will deliver thee. And this is the encouragement we see. This day God will deliver us. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's and he will give it to our hand. Now, here is David. You remember he said, is there not a cause? Now, I don't know if they had megaphones back in those days. I don't know if they had that. I don't know if they had iPads or iPods or whatever else was there. I don't know if they had it on their CD players or you could have. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think they did, obviously. And how the word got out. But here's this young boy saying to this Philistine, all right, I'm going to take you down. Basically, you're dead. And all the assembly to know that the Lord, all right, will give you into your hands. And it came to pass. I love that. Don't you love that? Verse 48. And it came to pass. What does that say? Yeah, it happened. Exactly as God showed through David, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew near, and David put his hand in the bag and he took, and of course you know, and we teach the kids, all right, and in the forehead, verse number 49, verse 50, and David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. He took danger down that day. He took danger down. Great things God is able to do. The Bible tells us this. Danger, we need to shake our fist in. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee. I will strengthen thee. I will hold thee with the right hand of righteousness. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 10. Elsewhere in the Bible, if you go to Psalm 27, which we're not going to go to, or Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall what? Not want. So he destroys danger. He's in the middle of this battle. Number four, he destroys the giant of doubt. Verse 41 down to 50. Here to the account, and this is really neat. This is that one that he brings him down to verse 49 and 50. I got ahead of myself a little bit there, but this is the destroying of doubt. And the Philistine is saying, are you kidding? You're not going to be able to do this. And I don't know. God's given us all we need. And yet, sometimes we still doubt him. Do you? I do. God says, I'm able to do exceeding abundantly above all. I'll be able to. I'll answer this prayer. I'll take care of this. I'll do this. And yet, when it really comes down to it, it's me against the world. It's I'm going to take care of this. And I begin to doubt myself. And when doubt comes in, that will destroy you. So he destroys that verse 50. All right. I'm sure David remembered when he was destroying and he's taken Joshua down. I'm sure he was remembering the days of Joshua when Joshua told Israel, have I not commanded you be strong and of a good, what? Courage. Yes. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest, wherever you're going. And he probably went back and remembered the words that Joshua, he came down, all right? You and I need to understand that the seeds of doubt can be planted deep within us, but we can do all things through Christ. We can do all things through Christ. Well, we got one more. He's got to finish the job. And the final one is defeating our adversary, the devil. He is already defeated. But we can defeat him even greater than that. We look at this particular passage down here, and we're going to go down through the rest of this, and we're going to see what happens. And David ran, and he stood upon the Philistine, and he took the sword, and he drew it out of its sheath, and he slew him, and cut off his head. Now, I don't know the exact what happened to the Philistine. I don't know. Obviously, he wasn't dead. He hit him in the head. He knocked him over. But David knew that it had to be finished. And he had to take care of it. Or he had to complete it. He didn't even have a sword, and so he did that. And this is what he does, and he cut off the head with it. Oh, my word. He did. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Defeat the devil. Now, the Bible says this, and we need to take a look at this if I can get there. James chapter 4. Let's go there. James chapter 4. How do you defeat the devil? How can you do it? Well, if I can find it. James chapter 4. Here it is. Submit yourselves therefore to God. What's he saying? Make sure that God's in the middle of your life first. Two, resist the devil and he will what? Put your finger up and say, goodbye, devil. Get out of the way. Get out of here. All right? Resist the devil. Now, here's the rest of it. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. In other words, it's easy for us to do and say the one thing and really not mean it. And so God says there is the way to defeat the devil. The devil himself must be defeated. He is our adversary. He tells us to submit ourselves therefore to God. What does that mean? Listen to God. When God says to do that, we need to do it. We leave ourselves wide open when we don't obey and listen. Kids know this. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. Don't read your Bible and don't pray every day, and you will shrink. Really? So Some of those stories are really interesting, but they're good. You and I can defeat the devil when we are closest to the Lord, to God's people in the fellowship, in the building of our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. David slew the giants that day. He cut down dismay, distrust, and disgruntledness. That's a nice word. In the family. His brothers were so upset with him. And he said, there is a bigger cause than what we're looking at here. There is a bigger cause. It's the cause of God alone. Two, he cut down discouragement. All right? He really did. And the king discouraged him and the whole thing. He said, man, you're so little. Who are you? And David said, this is the living God. And Goliath, that's who you're fighting against. You're not fighting against me. You can take me down, but you can't take God down. And so that day, and then he cut down danger. Not with Saul's armor, but the armor of God. And he cut down doubt. He cut down the fact that he could have doubted himself, but he didn't. He knew that God was stronger than that. And then he decapitated the Goliath. And we can defeat the devil. Would you do that this week? Would you shake your finger in the devil's face when he wants to discourage you and he wants to give you doubts? He wants to give you all that sort of disgruntledness, all that sort of stuff, and do all that stuff. Would you do that? David, that day, when he spoke to the armies of Israel and said, is there not a cause? There is a cause. We need to grab a hold of it greater in our lives. Onward, Christian soldiers. Let's sing it. All right? Anybody want to play it?